Mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, as we learned in high school biology. What's emerging from science more recently is how unhealthy mitochondria are at the heart of many diseases and even show up in our daily lives as feeling chronically fatigued or having brain fog. Improving mitochondrial function is at the heart of everything we do for athletic performance, health, and athletic longevity. Heck, mitochondrial dysfunction is one of the 12 hallmarks of aging, so what can we do? Today I am speaking with Dr. Scott Scherr, who says he is a conductor of all things optimal health and performance. He says everything he does for his patients, whatever their issues are, is usually aimed at improving mitochondrial dysfunction. Dr. Scherr is not just a medical doctor. His unique background has led him to build a medical practice combining the best of traditional and alternative medicine. Dr. Scott Scherr is a board-certified internal medicine physician and a specialist in hyperbaric oxygen therapy. His clinical practice includes health optimization medicine as its foundation, plus an integrative approach to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, targeted supplementation, synergistic new and ancient technologies, and more. Dr. Scherr is the perfect doctor to speak to the Wise Athletes podcast. Oh, but there's more. Dr. Scherr is the COO of Smarter Not Harder, the company behind Troscriptions, a line of unique supplements to optimize brain and body energy production and to relax and calm when needed. As you will soon hear, Dr. Scherr is the person who convinced me to try Methylene Blue, which has served to banish afternoon brain fog from my life. All right, let's talk to Dr. Scherr. Dr. Scott Scherr, welcome to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Joe. It's good to be here.
Oh, wow. I really appreciate you taking some time for us. And I say us, I mean the older athlete. I don't mean you. You look, nobody can see what I'm seeing, but you're not an older athlete. You might be an athlete. If you are older.
I'm 75 years old, Joe. You didn't know that?
You are very youthful then. Congratulations. But, you know, for the sake of the audience here, let me just say that you're kind of an odd bird, you know, as far as like the internet is concerned. You are an internal medicine MD, a hyperbaric chamber medicine specialist. Okay, we got to hear a little bit about that at least. You're the COO of a supplement company. Okay, that's not all that new, but that offers a unique form factor for methylene blue and other nootropics. All right, we want to know more about that. And you are a self-described conductor of all things optimal health and performance. I mean, wow. What would you add to that?
Well, I think the last piece is kind of the overall piece, right? In the sense that I am a conductor of all things health and performance. That's what I do. I have an integrative practice where I combine lots of different things together into what I've developed as sort of this unique amalgam of a focus in hyperbaric oxygen therapy, but also having a ground in something called health optimization medicine, which is a foundational health practice that I use, along with various types of products that help along the way as you're optimizing health. So it all kind of goes together for me. That all sounds good.
Fantastic. It's easy for people to say, oh, they have a unique practice or that sort of thing.
That's true.
But you do. I mean, wow. And so everybody listening here, you're in for a treat. I got to say that I've been following you for a bit. I found you, I can't think of when now, but around a year ago, I discovered you online. I think you were on somebody else's podcast. And so I've been sort of looking for you on other people's podcasts. And now I know you have your own as well. And so I know that even though out there on the internet, there's a lot of quote unquote experts talking about optimizing health and performance, you are not like those people. You are a medical doctor who brings together the alternative medicine and the traditional medicine. I mean, I have found that your talks, what you have to say, is very compelling and confidence inspiring. And in fact, the main example is the thing that I really want to make sure we deep dive on today, and that is methylene blue. I have been hearing more and more about it, but let's just be honest with each other here. It sounds nuts, right? I mean, methylene blue, what? It's a dye for blue jeans? What? I'm going to like consume some dye for blue jeans that was developed from coal tar in the 1800s? There's no way I'm doing that. There's no way I'm doing that. But I keep hearing about it. But still, it wasn't until I found you and with your background and your approach and even the product that you guys make that we'll hear more about.
Sure.
That it was so convenient and so safe feeling to me. That was it. That was my way in. I was never going to do methylene blue except for you. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I don't know if there's anything more you want to tell us about, you know, your approach to optimal health and performance.
We can back into it.
Start with like the pyramid. I think that you have talked about like, you always start with the basics.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so I had my reservations about methylene blue as well, but I think you have to remember that we're not living in a natural world anymore. We don't have natural light. We don't have natural food. It's very difficult to get natural food. Even the natural food that we eat has very little in the way of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients than it did even 100 years ago or 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to compensate now for a problem that we all have. 95% of us have, it's mitochondrial dysfunction.
Yeah.
And the mitochondria are the part of our cells that don't work very well when we're under lots of stress. And they're the most important parts of our cell that help us make energy. So if we don't have mitochondria that work well, we don't make energy well.
Yeah.
So this is the problem. And so what can we do to optimize mitochondrial function has really been, when I think about my practice and I think about the last decade of what I've been doing, really what I've been doing is trying to optimize mitochondrial function.
Awesome.
And I started off doing this as finishing medical school and residency. I'm an internal medicine doc, like you said, in specializing in hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And hyperbaric oxygen therapy was this really cool technology, is this really cool technology that is used conventionally. It's used conventionally in hospitals. I learned about it when I was in medical school in a trauma center with people that came in with flesh-eating bacteria and carbon monoxide poisoning and
ouch,
you know, crazy things, and saw what it could do. And then I learned about all the other amazing things that just giving the body more oxygen was going to be able to do, and doing all these things that the conventional side wasn't able to help with. So people post-stroke and traumatic brain injury or concussions, or people who had severe infections, for example, that really didn't have a lot of options from the conventional side. So I got involved in using hyperbaric therapy as a way to help optimize the system. But really what I was doing oftentimes there was optimizing mitochondrial function by enhancing the ability of the system to regenerate itself using oxygen as the mechanism to do that. Making new blood vessels, creating new stem cells, decreasing inflammation. These are all things that hyperbaric therapy does. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this has to do with the base of this, which is mitochondrial function. So, but the issue that I had is that it wasn't enough for a lot of people. Hyperbaric therapy just wasn't enough. It wasn't even the right, there wasn't even the right option for a lot of people that were coming in very sick, that had chronic issues, that had long-term goals. Now, if you came in and you had an acute issue, hyperbaric therapy was fantastic. If you had an acute injury, surgery, trauma, acute infection, hyperbaric therapy without much else, maybe just the regular standard stuff, would do fantastic as a way to synergize, accelerate, and optimize healing and recovery. But if you had a long-term issue, if you had an issue that had been going on for a long period of time, or you had a long-term goal, say you didn't want to age as fast, that's a long-term goal.
Yeah.
Or you had a long-term issue like you're having cognitive impairment, or a long-term issue like you had a stroke 3 years ago, or a concussion 3 months ago. These are now long-term issues. Hyperbaric therapy by itself wasn't enough. It would get people better sometimes, but it wouldn't always get them better. And if it got them better, it wasn't as much as I thought that they should get better. So that's when, as things would happen, I met a very amazing doctor named Dr. Ted Otricoso, who created this thing called Health Optimization Medicine Practice, Home Hope for short. So Home Hope was developed out of his practice, out of his clinical practice, where he was looking to optimize health rather than treat disease. Mm-hmm. And the goal here was to truly optimize mitochondrial function as one of the major goals of the whole system. And it did this using metabolism, using it cellular testing and looking at gut testing, neurotransmitters, hormones, because all these things played a huge part in how mitochondria were functioning. And so that became the foundation of my practice. The foundation of my practice is HOME. Home Hope is the nonprofit organization training doctors and practitioners. If you're a doctor, you get trained in HOME. If you're a practitioner, a non-physician, you get trained in HOPE.
Oh.
And so I'm a home practitioner, using that as the foundation of my practice alongside hyperbaric oxygen therapy when needed. But not always, that's for sure. And it's not always accessible to everybody. And then using those two pieces, I can go a long way, a very long way. But then I have practitioners that I work with in all various types of specialties that I can leverage and work with. And then, of course, I have products. And then the Troscriptions company grew out of the nonprofit, grew out of Home Hope, as a way to help people now along that path to health optimization, which can take a long time for people. And so you need things that can help with focus, with mitochondrial optimization, with sleep, with stress. And Methylene Blue fit directly into that ecosystem when we were creating those company, that company and those products.
Awesome. Well, I guess, you know, if I've been doing the wrong things for 40 years and my body is damaged as a result, then I'm not going to fix it in a day.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we have to have kind of a long-term plan to make things better. But in the meantime, I guess it would be nice if we had a way to bridge to the end, right? You know, how could I get my energy level up when I needed it? You know, whether that was for some athletic thing or brain power, like what I get in the afternoons is I often will kind of feel a little foggy, right? And oh, I sure would love to have a little caffeine, but if I do that, then I'm not going to sleep. Bingo. That's where the Methylene Blue comes in for me anyway.
Yep.
Okay. So I have so much that I want to talk to you about, but our time is really short. So I want to talk a little bit around the different tools, just to touch on them, just to say their names and you can say, oh, it's good for this. It's bad for that. It's, you know, and then let's drill hard into the Methylene Blue, which is my big thing for you. Okay. So these tools that you have, I mean, maybe we should start talking about these products that you built based on the knowledge that you and the people that you work with have on these nootropics. You've got like brain boosters and brain calmers, I guess I would say. And these are like chemicals, but you're not limited to that. You also have technologies, right? The hyperbaric, the chambers. But other things that you might be able to use. What are the kind of the big tools that you use, you know, whereas maybe, you know, a family practitioner might, the big tool might be blood pressure medicine and antibiotics and stuff like that. You know, what are your big tools? And we'll leave Methylene Blue to really hit hard.
Sure. So you always have to start off easy here. I mean, there's lots of fancy tools that I love and that other people love that can be really great for optimization, for performance, for health. But I try to always steer the conversation initially to my patients and clients to one of what are the simple things that that you can do that don't cost a lot of money that can make huge, huge strides and benefit you very quickly. So these are things that everybody knows in principle. What are you eating every day? How much sunlight are you getting every day? Exercise, relationships, sleep. These are all really important. So if I start saying, well, you should go into my hyperbaric chamber because this is a fantastic tool, but you're not doing all those things, or at least trying to address them, very likely if you have a chronic issue, whatever it is that may get better in the chamber is not going to stay better over the long term because you're not doing those basic things. So
you're solving a symptom rather than the root cause.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't out-supplement a crappy diet. You can't out-hyperbaricize a crappy diet, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So, but some of the tools that I do like to use outside of hyperbaric technology is I'm a big fan of people looking at mostly on the recovery side of things, because I find that most of us are really great at doing things, but we're not really great at not doing things. And I certainly fall into that category. It's very easy for me to fill my schedule up with ridiculous amounts of things. It's very difficult for me to actually unschedule myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm not alone. I'm type A in many things, and many of us are.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we like to say we're type A together as like one person. We're like this massive type A person. But we're type A about different things, so we feel really badly for our children. But anyway, they'll need therapy, but everybody's kids probably would benefit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the idea is I try to focus on recovery technologies. So I think one of the major ones that I would recommend everybody, if they have the wherewithal, is heat. So I'm a big fan of sauna in general. So it would be infrared is the one I have at my house, but high heat saunas are great too. I think cold can be good for some people as a recovery tool, but not for everybody. Mm. And cold, I think, is now like the fancy cool thing that everybody's doing, but I think people are doing it too much. Mm. Oftentimes, I think on average, maybe 3 times a week would be enough for most people. Mm. Every day is probably too much for the average human. So, and I really like, I look at meditation and becoming more parasympathetic. So I have people use meditation tools and meditation apps and breath work apps. And I have a friend, his name is Brian McKenzie. Brian does a lot of work in CO2 training, which you probably know.
Oh, sure.
And so I'm a big fan of his work as a way to improve the stress response in general. So those are some of the tools that I think about.
Well, fantastic. And so let's talk a little bit about the chemicals that are in the products that you sell. I mean, there's the methylene blue, of course, that's in the brain booster. It's not in the brain calmer, which is interesting. I imagine there's a good reason for that. But there's nicotine is in there. It's like, ooh, what? Nicotine? Are you crazy? And then there's CBD, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we have two products that are based on methylene blue. We have one that's pure methylene blue. Then we have another one that has methylene blue with nicotine, caffeine, and CBD, as you mentioned. That's called blue canatine. And so those are more of our focus and energy formulas, as opposed to our other two, which are Trocom and Tro-Z, which are more focused on the parasympathetic relaxation recovery side of things and working on another neurotransmitter system, specifically called the GABA system. So GABA neurotransmission is an extremely important neurotransmitter. It's our most important neurotransmitter for calming down the brain's firing. Okay. And so what we can really do with GABA is if we can increase it, you're going to relax more, you're going to recover more, and you're going to feel less anxious, less stressed, less depressed, sleep better, all of these kinds of things. And so those products were focused on working on the GABA system. So the Trocom is focused on making you feel less anxious, but not making you feel very tired during the day, because what we have there is a formulation that has something called vitamin B3 GABA. So it's a vitamin B3 attached to a GABA molecule. And as a result of that, the B3 gets across the blood-brain barrier along with GABA, gets you a little bit of activation because vitamin B3 has a little bit of NAD. That's what turns into NAD is vitamin B3. And so you have a little bit of activation, but you also have the GABA in there, which is causing relaxation. So it doesn't make you feel too tired.
Gotcha.
GABA supplements don't typically work if you take GABA by itself, because it can cause, GABA is too big to get across the blood-brain barrier. Unless you have a leaky brain, which can happen if you have a leaky gut, and then your blood-brain barrier is letting things through that shouldn't get through, kind of thing.
Ouch.
And then as a result, you'll get GABA. You'll feel the improvements of having more GABA, but that's not necessarily a good thing because you may have a leaky brain. But that's okay. You can have a leaky gut, and that's usually the combination there. You work on sealing the gut up, and you seal up the brain as well. Anyway, so Trocom was created to be more of a anxiolytic, so relaxing, the brain's firing. It's great for winding down in the evenings. It doesn't have any effect on your sleep architecture that you'd have to be worried about to the detriment, because you have to worry about a lot of things that, you know, people are taking these days, benzos and sleep drugs that it may help you feel less anxious or sleep better. But the problem is that they're really affecting your sleep architecture, just like alcohol does as well, where you don't get enough good sleep if you're taking these things.
Right, right. I guess in the bigger picture, we'd all be better off if we could, you know, figure out how to sleep and relax without taking, you know, medications or chemicals. But once we've been sleep deprived long enough, now it's extra hard to recover and be able to get good at that sort of thing. I mean, I actually had Brian McKenzie on the podcast here just a few weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
And he is amazing. And we were essentially dealing with my sleep problems.
Yeah.
And I've been doing, you know, HRV, biofeedback, and, you know, deep breathing throughout the day. I've been doing all kinds of things that he told me to do, and it totally is working. But in the meantime, wow, wouldn't I be better off with something that would help me to go to sleep when I'm having a bad day?
Right.
Or, you know, it's not working this night, kind of a thing. So that makes really good sense. And then these things stack, these chemicals that are bridges, maybe for the short run or maybe for the long run, you know, for different people, different things. But then these technologies can stack. So one of the things that I've heard that stacks well with methylene blue is red light. And I don't know whether it also stacks with like the infrared sauna or the near infrared. I mean, some of these lamps that are red light, they're also near infrared. Do you work with those kind of lamps or advise your clients to?
Yeah. So the near infrared, specifically around the 660 nanometers, has some pretty good data that it synergizes really well with methylene blue. So definitely there's a combination there that's worth checking out. As far as infrared saunas, there's really no direct interaction there, or no direct synergy. But I would typically not purposely stack them together saying that they're going to be synergistic, but they can certainly be used in context of recovery, for example.
I got you. Well, I guess the issue with the sauna, you know, as I think about my lamp, I have a red near-infrared lamp. I put it right on my skin, and that way I think I'm getting the maximum amount of penetration into my body for those photons. But if it was farther away from my skin, I feel like it might reflect off of my skin, or it would, you know, the power would diminish, I think, exponentially, you know, with the distance.
Well, with infrared, you don't have to worry as much because infrared heat is very low wavelength, short wave. So it's going to penetrate you pretty well. Wow. That's why you kind of, with infrared, you feel like you're heating up from the inside. Like you don't feel like you're like getting blasted with heat like you would like a full finish type of sauna. So it's so infrared does penetrate, but near infrared does not as far. So you have to be very close to your red light panels. And there's all these spectrum as far as like power out to outputs and things like that. But you want one that has a relatively high power as well so that it penetrates further into tissue.
Got it. Got it. Awesome. Well, so is there anything else that you think we should talk about is related to these technologies and non-methylene blue tools that you think are useful for people in their recovery, which is the focus that you try to bring?
Yeah.
And remember that the audience here is the older athlete. So, you know, these are people who are, you know, maybe they're not competing anymore, but they think of themselves as athletes. They want to stay athletic and fit and strong and capable for a very long time. You know, they don't want to do a bus tour of Italy when they're 80. They want to do a bike tour. And so anything else to add before we jump into methylene blue?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go back to what I was talking about a little bit about the foundation of my practice is something called Home Hope, or health optimization medicine in practice. And the key, I think, for most individuals, especially as we age, is that knowing that we don't want to be normal for our age, 100%, right? Most people that are listening do not want to be normal for their age. Right. They want to be optimal for their age. So what Home Hope does is that we try to shift all of your networks, your nutrient network, your hormone networks, to when you were about 21 to 30 years of age.
Nice.
And that's very uncommon. You'll find very few frameworks that think about this. They'll talk about this from a hormone perspective now. I mean, you'll certainly hear hormone doctors talking about your testosterone level and getting it back to when you were a spry 18-year-old. But the problem with that is if you're just optimizing your testosterone level, you're going to imbalance other hormones too. Mm. The challenge, I think, for many individuals is that they think that we all want one thing to be able to, the one thing that's going to help us, right? The one thing that's going to change our life and the magic bullet per se.
Yes.
And we'll talk about magic bullets in a minute with methylene blue. But very few things really are, especially if we're trying to slow down the aging process. And so what we're trying to do, and I'm doing in my practice, is always look, we want to try to get your levels of everything between 21 and 30 years of age, because that's when we're the most optimal from a recovery perspective, from most optimal from a fighting perspective, from a fornicating perspective, all the Fs, right? Mm. And so that's the goal. And so as an athlete, what you do have to worry about, and many of your listeners will likely know this, is that people die of heart attacks all the time when they do their marathons. Mm. And why is that? Because they have too much oxidative stress. They're too active. There is such a thing. If you're not also balancing out the system and making sure you have enough antioxidants on board, making sure that you are healthy, right? You might be healthy to run a marathon, but are you actually healthy to live long? That may not be the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know there's a difference there. And I talked about this with my athletes all the time, the ones I work with. I'm like, look, yes, you can do a triathlon, you can do another crazy exercise, race, whatever, but I'm looking at your labs and they look terrible. So, mm-hmm. And that's because you're just too stressed, you're overtraining, and you're not thinking about recovery and not thinking about your cellular optimization strategies. So I think that's the big thing for almost everybody, but especially people that are trying to stay active for longer, because at some point the system is going to break. It's just going to happen.
Right. Before we jump into the methylene blue thing, let's take a sidebar into these people come in and they're fit looking, right? You know, they seem really healthy, and maybe what they want is I want to go from third place on the podium to first place on the podium. And you're going to say, okay, yeah, I probably can help you with that, but we got to start with, let's make sure you're healthy. How do you do that? Is this a boil the ocean and see what markers don't hit 21 years old? Or how are you getting to the bottom of what are they missing in this sort of foundation?
Yeah. So the base for anybody that wants to be fit for a particular activity is that they still have to have a base. So otherwise they're going to be significantly putting themselves at a disadvantage over the long term. Yeah. And that's the challenge, right? So when you're young, you don't really think about these things, but when you're older, you have to be thinking about, well, what are you doing to set yourself up for success? So you can actually do the next marathon or the next triathlon, whatever it might be. And so what I think about the foundation here is something called metabolomics. And metabolomics is a long word, but all this really means is it's actually the real-time ongoing processes in your cells that are happening right now that you can measure and you can optimize. And so metabolomics has been called the 21st century stethoscope because it's a way to look under the hood and look at things that may cause an issue 5 or 10 years from now, but are not causing an issue now. But if you address them, you might be able to prevent all those things from happening. Mm-hmm. And that's really the key, is if you can get things early, if you can prevent things from deteriorating early, you can see these things and you can start optimizing them and you can prevent them from happening. So the key, I think, for any athlete is to get metabolomics checked. Get your foundational biochemistry assessed using metabolomics. Check your gut. Oftentimes, athletes will have leaky guts because they're using too much fuel from all their activity to actually support the lining of their gut, and they get leaky guts as a result of this. Mm. And that's obviously not good for the system. They have gut inflammation, they have full body inflammation. Mm. And then they get arteriovascular disease, not because they're not exercising, it's because they have a leaky gut. So, and they have inflammation as a result of that. Mm. So, and then hormones is the same thing. Hormones drop dramatically as we get older, and this prevents recovery, this prevents cognitive function to being optimal, et cetera. So things like growth hormone and testosterone and even your thyroid, and a lot of men especially, they don't think about these things dropping like they do for women during menopause, but they do. And these are things that really can be supported nutritionally, but sometimes need hormone optimization too, especially as we get older. So that's what I think about. I think about what the foundation, the ground being, focus on how well your cells are making energy, your mitochondria, like we talked about earlier. Focus on how well you're detoxifying. And everything else kind of goes from there.
Well, that sounds good. And I guess all of this applies to not just can I ride my bike faster, but, you know, will my brain function better? Will I have less brain fog? Will I have better memory recall?
Absolutely. I mean, when it comes to your mitochondria, I mean, where do you have the most of them? You have the most in your muscle, actually. That's your most reserve where your mitochondria are, because again, if you're going to go running, you need to be able to make energy. You have your most mitochondria in your heart, your liver, and if you're a woman, your ovaries. If you're in a man, your sperm, because it's really important to be able to have those areas function, right? And so those are kind of like the basic areas that I think about, or the major areas that I think about when we're looking at where mitochondrial function is going to present itself. So if you have exercise-induced fatigue, mitochondrial dysfunction. If you have brain fog, mitochondrial dysfunction. Yeah. If you have infertility issues, mitochondrial dysfunction. Yeah. Now, why is that happening? There could be tons of reasons as to why, but 95% of us have some element of mitochondrial dysfunction at this point.
All right, so let's get into methylene blue then. I just read an article here, and I have a quote here from it. It was a paper in Nature, and it was about methylene blue's anti-aging for skin, which is probably not the only organ that the methylene blue kind of helped. But it says, methylene blue, a century-old drug, first synthesized in 1876, has been used in clinical medicine for treatment of diverse ailments. And it talks about blue baby syndrome, malaria, shock, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. And then it goes on to say that methylene blue is a potent reactive oxygen species scavenger. It reduces aging signs in old skin cells. I got some of those. It upregulates NRF2, so it puts it into the category with things that everybody's heard of, like turmeric and sulforaphane and, you know, vitamin D, that sort of thing. Increases skin thickness and hydration, upregulates elastin and collagen, and promotes wounds in skin, the healing of it. And that's just the skin. All right. Tell us why you love methylene blue.
That's a pretty good synopsis of where the major indications and thoughts are. But what it comes down to for me is that it's enhancing mitochondrial function.
Yeah.
And I think that's really where you're seeing all the benefits. It's doing it on both ends, though, which is super interesting. It's doing it on the end of giving you more energy. So giving your mitochondria more energy to play with. It's doing this by directly contributing to the process of making energy in your mitochondria. This is making ATP, your cell's energy currency. And it's doing this in about 10 different ways. And it can do it in even more different of those ways, depending on what's going on with the mitochondria. Many of us have problems making energy. And this can be from any number of reasons. Most commonly, it's related to like a post-infectious kind of thing, like post-COVID. For example, severe mitochondrial function is common. Medications can cause mitochondrial dysfunction. Inflammation in general can cause mitochondrial dysfunction. And so most of us have some element of this. And so methylene blue can help you make more energy, even if you have dysfunctional areas on your mitochondria called complexes, protein complexes, that are now not working as they're supposed to work and you're not making as much energy.
Yeah.
So it's doing that. It's helping you make more energy. But, or, and at the same time, when we make energy, we also make what are called products of energy metabolism. I love telling Brian that carbon dioxide is a waste product of energy metabolism because he loves that. But it's really not. Like CO2 is really important. You had a whole podcast with Brian. I'm sure you guys could refer back to that.
Yeah.
So CO2 is made when you make energy. Water is made when you make energy, but also something called reactive oxygen species, otherwise known as free radicals, otherwise known as oxidative stress.
Yeah.
Now, in small amounts, this is good. We need oxidative stress to create signaling. We use oxidative stress as a hormetic stress for people that do exercise. This is how your biceps gets larger or your calf muscles get larger, depending on what kind of exercise that you're doing. But if the body has too much of this, then it starts going into disarray because the body gets overrun by oxidative stress. There becomes more inflammation. The mitochondria can't work very well, and the whole system starts breaking down. So what you said before about NRF2 and about methylene blue being an antioxidant is true. Not only can it help you make more energy, but it also can help you detox as well by neutralizing oxidative stress. It does this directly by becoming an antioxidant. And it also does it indirectly by increasing NRF2. And that increases something called glutathione in the body. Now, it's also an anti-infective, like you said, especially at higher doses of methylene blue. So it can be used as a direct anti-infective. And it's still being used that way now, although less so than it used to be before antimicrobials came around in the 1950s. But in the 1940s, when you had World War II pilots and other people over in the Pacific Theater, they had to carry around methylene blue as their antimicrobial, because that's all that was available at the time.
Wow.
So, and it worked really well, except it made your urine blue, as you well know, Joe.
Yes.
And as a result of that, they had songs about urinating blue while they were on missions in the Pacific.
That's how loyal they were. They peed blue, huh?
Love it. Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. Wow. I could tell you how it feels to me, but how does it feel to people in general when they take methylene blue and it's helping them to make energy, but also clean up the reactive oxygen species so that they're, you know, they're not getting damaged from all this extra energy that they're making. What do they feel?
Well, how do you feel? Tell me about your experience first, and then I can back myself into it.
I take it because it cuts through brain fog like a dehumidifier, you know, clearing up my windscreen on my car. I mean, it's like I can't concentrate. My attention span is crap. And it's like, I got methylene blue and I'll go get some. And it's like, whoosh, it's gone. I'm like myself again, instead of this person who doesn't think very well.
So I love that. And it's a great demonstration of that methylene blue does kind of what it needs to do, where it needs to do it. Mm. And so for you, it's your brain in that case, right? And then for other people, it might be their muscle.
Mm.
We often see here that what methylene blue is doing is when it's optimizing mitochondrial function, it's giving people more energy in general. Uh-huh. So when you're still starting to feel more energy, that could be anywhere you need more energy. It could be energy in your brain. It could be energy in your muscle tissue. It could be overall just feeling like your brain fog is better, like your concentration's better.
Yeah.
It just gives you a lift, right? And it gives you a lift that could be subtle for some people. It could be more profound for others. I often say it's if you have somebody that needs to lose 300 pounds versus somebody that needs to lose 20 pounds, the person that needs to lose 300 pounds is going to feel the effect much faster because they can drop weight much faster. It's the same kind of deal. Or the person that needs more mitochondrial support. So we've had people that have had like long COVID or post-mold and infections, and their brain fog is just terrible. And then they start taking methylene blue and like 2 days later, they can think again and then they're good. And then they can wean down off the methylene blue over a little bit of time. And then their mitochondria have gotten a little bit of the boost that they needed and they're good to go. So that's my experience, you know, doing this now. We've had these products out for over 4 years now.
Yeah.
It's, or just about 4 years next month, is that I've just been so surprised at just the huge spectrum of things that it seems to help. But in general, it's helping with inflammation and mitochondrial stress and energy production. So if you have a lot of inflammation, if you have a lot of joint pain because of inflammation, methylene blue can help, potentially. If you have elevated blood pressure because of inflammation, methylene blue will lower your blood pressure. Now, I'm not saying you should take this because you have high blood pressure. I'm just saying in general, if you have inflammation in the system, methylene blue is likely going to help the inflammation. If you have energy production capacity challenges, it's going to help that. So in addition to working on the mitochondria, I should also mention, though, that it's also working as a mild neurotransmitter release capacity or in a little bit of a capacity there, because it's working as something called a monoamine oxidase inhibitor. And a monoamine oxidase inhibitor is like the first antidepressants that were ever developed were actually in this category. Monoamine oxidase inhibition means that you have increased dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin around as well. And so as a result of that, you get a little bit more activation, a little bit more mood boosting just with this methylene blue itself as a result of that capacity.
Wow.
So you get some of that, you get the mitochondrial support at the same time, and you're getting the energy, you're getting the detoxification. So if you need detox help, this can help you. If you need energy, this can help you. If you need both, which is what most people need, it can help you. And so I have endurance athletes that are using it for long runs, for example, because it gives them more energy. What's cool about methylene blue, even at altitude, people are using it because it can act just like oxygen in your mitochondria and help you make more energy, even if you don't have a lot of oxygen around, because it has that capacity too. So it's got the ability really to help on all spectrums. And that's why I can use it almost always in the people that I'm working with. It just depends on the dosing, really, and then going slowly with people that are just have under more chronic stress overall.
Okay, so let's get into the dosing in just a second here. That's one of the main things that I wanted to talk about. But I think I'm getting the picture here that because it is going after this fundamental issue of mitochondrial dysfunction, which increases as we get older, when it's fixing that, it's fixing that everywhere in the body, but where you notice it is where you really needed it.
Yes.
And so if you really didn't need it, then you won't feel very much. It'd be like, okay, this methylene blue doesn't do any good. It's like, well, okay, well,
unless you
didn't need it.
Dose.
You know, good for you, or maybe you didn't have a big enough dose. All right, good point, but we'll get back to that. But if you need it, so for me, when I needed it in my brain, that's where I felt it.
Yes.
That is really awesome. So mitochondria is everywhere in your body. So if you've got...
Except for one place.
Where is that?
Except for one type of cell does not have mitochondria.
Your red blood cell?
You got it. Nice work, man.
What a lucky guess.
Lucky guess. Because they don't have any organelles or nucleus, right? It's just the red blood cell is just there to carry hemoglobin and oxygen. So, but every other cell has mitochondria for sure.
Okay, fantastic. So that means that when you hear that, oh, it will boost your brain or help your brain to recover if you've had an injury, you know, stroke or concussion or something like that, or even like you've got a, you know, like some form of depression, like you're just not feeling well, or, you know, you're not feeling energetic and you're not able to do your workouts, or maybe you don't even feel like going to do a workout kind of a thing. All of these things can be solved by the same solution, even though they sound completely different.
Yeah. I mean, the context is important, right? We're not just using this thing as the only thing that you're doing. And that's also, I mean, it can be, but the nice thing about methylene blue is that it can be supportive under all these capacities, right? So if you're working on mood issues, you can use methylene blue as something that can help boost the mood while you're doing things like getting your exercise better, getting your diet better, for example. If you have an infection, you can use methylene blue as something that can be supportive and synergistic to the other things that you're doing along with the infection. But this is kind of what we've been dancing around a little bit here, is that the dosing is really important.
Yeah.
The dosing of methylene blue runs a huge spectrum. Most of the research here shows around about 1 milligram per kilogram, which is going to be about 60 to 70 milligrams for most individuals as where the data is. But that's data in infection. That's data in acute inflammation. That's data in acute mitochondrial stress. But where there's new and emerging data is in much lower doses than that. And so what we are looking at with the work that we've done is looking at 16 milligrams of methylene blue as being the dose for most brain-focused of the doses for methylene blue, because the brain is more sensitive to everything. It's more sensitive to oxygen, more sensitive to pressure when I'm putting people in a hyperbaric chamber. It's also more sensitive to inflammation. That's why it's got the blood-brain barrier to try to protect it as well. So methylene blue, these low doses, somewhere around 16 milligrams, sometimes 8 milligrams for some people, sometimes even 4, can do a significant amount to just start having that mitochondria start working better. And as a result of that, you're going to see these improvements overall in those macro symptomatic kinds of things like brain fog and concentration and mood boosting. When you get to the higher doses, the 50, the 60, the 70, that's more for the acute mitochondrial stress when the body needs a lot more, much quicker, along with the acute infection as well. But this is the doses, the dosing that's been studied for things like trauma and ischemia, or like strokes or heart attacks and traumatic brain injuries and things like that.
So how do I know? You know, I mean, people are different by more than just they weigh different.
Sure.
You know, maybe my life is really stressful, you know, compared to another person. Would I just go by how I feel, or is there some other way?
So it depends on what your goals are typically. But if your goal is very specific, like I have brain fog, for example, then it's different than from I'm just looking to do this for health optimization. But in general, what I have people do in my clinical practice, my practice, is I have them titrate the dose every 3 to 5 days, increasing until they start feeling an effect. Okay. So that could be starting at a quarter of a troche, which is the delivery device that we use.
That's like 4 milligrams?
So that would be 4 milligrams, right? So 4 milligrams.
Okay.
For about 3 to 5 days, then increasing it to 8 milligrams, and then increasing it to 16. Usually somewhere during that spectrum is when somebody, when somebody will start feeling an effect, they'll start feeling better in some way, right? And they're feeling better, then that's typically the dose that we want to keep them at, or maybe slightly higher than that, depending on what they feel. And that could be anything from, like you described, like my brain's turned on, I feel great. It could be my inflammation's better, my joints are better, my fatigue is better, I can exercise now, I have more endurance. It could be any number of these things. Once you get to that dose that's working for you, then you, it's the decision as to how frequently you want to take it. Is it something you're going to take every day? And in some people that I'm working with that have severe mitochondrial stress, that have had long-term issues, like a post-COVID kind of thing, for example, I'm not just stopping it after a couple of weeks. I'm usually having them stay on it for a period of time. And then once we get further in the other optimization strategies that we're doing, then that's when I'll add on, well, that's when I'll start tapering off the methylene blue, for example, and then having them go to a smaller amount and see if they can sustain the same benefits, for example. So I often find that if people don't have an effect to methylene blue, it's just because they haven't gotten to a dose that probably was appropriate for them. And in some cases, they need to, people need to be higher than 16 milligrams. And we have a professional grade product for this reason, where it's called Tro Plus Blue, where you can get a 50 milligram strength methylene blue troche for professional use. So, it really should be done under professional guidance because it's a higher dose. But some people do need that. But I often, unless there's an acute issue, like if there's an acute stress, I will start with the higher doses. But in general, if there's more of a chronic issue or a long-term goal, then I'll be starting at the lower doses and slowly increasing over time until I get to the dose that seems to work for them.
Awesome. As I mentioned, I use your product. First of all, the form factor, just so people can understand what we're talking about, it's a solid. It's a troche.
Yes.
It's like a lozenge that dissolves in your mouth. And the idea, I guess, is that it penetrates through the lining of your cheek and goes into your bloodstream that way rather than through your stomach and past your liver and all of that.
That's true.
And so that's really portable. I mean, especially if for anybody who's ever not done the traditional methylene blue, which is in a like an eyedropper bottle with this blue dye that is so easy to spill. And by God, it is the worst stain that you will ever have.
You have to make sure your blue jeans are close by. You
know, okay. That's right. Make sure you spill it on that because nothing else will be happy.
But the troche, just to say something about the troches. Troches were designed exactly as the reason you just said, because they bypass first pass metabolism in the liver, which means that they don't have to be digested by the intestines and the stomach and the liver before they get into your system. But, and this is a caveat, the but here is that methylene blue, because it's so highly bioavailable, which means that it gets in the body so much so it doesn't really matter if it's in the cheek or if you swallow it. And that's nice for people because methylene blue is a stain, so it's also going to stain your mouth blue for the period of time that you're taking the troche, as you likely know, Joe.
Yes.
So you can actually swallow methylene blue. Typically, it's on an empty stomach so that the effects happen faster. The problem, the only problem, if there's any problem here, is that if you dissolve it in the mouth, it's going to be faster as opposed to if you let it dissolve in the stomach. It still gets in the cells. It still gets in the mitochondria. It's going to go where it needs to go. It's just going to be a little bit slower. So people that have more brain fog, more concentration issues, they tend to do better to dissolve it in their mouth as opposed to having it swallowed. But it's the same bioavailability in both locations.
I got it.
Our other products though, our other ones, we have the blue canatine, which is the combination we were talking about along with our GABA products.
Yeah.
Those are better dissolved in the mouth because it's going to work faster in general.
And the bioavailability is much worse if they swallow those?
Yeah. So it's not much worse, but you will need more of the product to get the same effect. So typically a quarter or a half more troche to get the same effect as if you were dissolving it in your mouth, if you swallow.
I got it. And my understanding is that the methylene blue does not have an availability, bioavailability issue.
It does not.
It's just a speed thing.
Yes.
And a coloring thing.
So yes,
one of that. So but what's nice about the product, the Troche, is that it, you know, I can put it in my pocket. I can take it anywhere that I want to. The only issue that I've had, which led me to doing another thing, is, you know, sometimes I just can't have blue teeth, you know, you know, in my professional life, that's just an obstacle to some things.
Indeed.
And so what I was doing, and I wanted to ask you about this. Of course, you know, I had the reliable source of the internet telling me how to do this.
Dr. Google.
Holy cow. In any case, you know, putting the blue dye in some water, and then I would add some vitamin C powder to it. And so it would make it clear so I could get it past my teeth and my tongue without turning me blue. Does that like somehow disable? I mean, my pee turns blue, so it must go back to being blue somehow.
So theoretically, we don't recommend doing that because you likely are preventing some of the capacity of methylene blue to do its work in the body. Because what vitamin C is doing is reducing methylene blue. So it's changing it from its oxidized form to its reduced form. That just basically means it's picking up electrons and as a result of that turning colorless. Now, we think as a result of that, it may decrease its capacity to do the same thing in the body and pick up free electrons, which are oxidative stress, which are reactive oxygen species. So I do not recommend typically doing that. No, sorry.
Bummer. It's good to know.
Just
good to know.
It's okay.
Well, you know, I guess I, you know, I could just, it's a bad dye. So,
you can just swallow it. I mean, that's what I would typically do when I have methylene blue at least 3 times a week, typically.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have it when I'm traveling more because you're under more mitochondrial stress. If you're on airplanes, we have great jet lag protocols for methylene blue where you can use it in a very specified way that we've designed that can help with jet lag. When you're on a plane, you're at less oxygen. You have more radiation exposure. You're going time zone changes. Troz, our sleep formula, is great for this too because it's got a little bit of melatonin and help you change your cycles as well. And then the blue carnitine is great if you need to focus when you get off an airplane. But Just Blue really is the product that I rely on the most for traveling it really does support the system.
And that's the one you can just swallow and you don't lose anything from swallowing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So looking at the clock here, I see that we're running out. I have a few more questions for you.
Yeah.
I know that you said that you don't advise your clients to do this, although sometimes you'll have them take it for a while if they've had an issue for a while. But what if I like it and I want to take it? I mean, am I, you know, digging my grave, do you think, if I'm taking it every day or 5 days a week indefinitely?
My sense of this is that at the very low doses that we're having in our products, it really is not an issue. If you were taking 50, 100, 150 milligrams of methylene blue a day, that could become an issue for sure. And that has a number of different potential reasons to become an issue. The major one that I worry about is actually gut die-off, or is actually the microbiome die-off in your gut at the higher doses. Now, we can use it for that reason if you have bacterial overgrowth, if you have an actual infection in the gut. But lower doses, I don't see there being a major issue here, really, Joe. I mean, we don't know for sure. Nobody's used low-dose methylene blue for years and years and years. But my sense of this is that it's safe. It's likely something that can be weaned down for most people to about 3 times a week, 4 times a week. But I think if you're taking it for, I mean, I've had people on it for months and they do well, really well on it and without any trouble at all. I think what's always underlying all of this is, right, we're all getting older, and we're all at this point under more stress because we don't have a choice, because mitochondrial stress just happens as we get older. So my sense of it is that most of us can take this chronically over the long term. My recommendation would just be getting your labs checked, making sure things are stable, especially things like mitochondrial function and optimizing your gut over time and making sure there's no issues there. But I don't see any issues really with low dose overall.
Yeah, I guess it didn't, one and one did not add up to two, where it's an antimicrobial and my gut is full of microbes. I'd hate to kill them all off, but if I'm taking a really tiny dose, I guess maybe I'm not killing that much.
I don't think you are at all, no. And there's other people that worry about nitric oxide as well, which is really important as we get older. And there's no sense that these lower doses of methylene blue have any nitric oxide depletion. There may be at very high doses. Nitric oxide is really important for the dilation of your blood vessels, for vascular function. This is why Viagra is shown to decrease dementia potentially by 30% because it helps with blood flow. I said dementia instead of dementia. I don't know why, but it's dementia. Yeah.
Okay. So any contraindications, like, you know, drugs that people are on that shouldn't be taking methylene blue, or maybe medical conditions?
That's sure. Sure. So a methylene blue has a relative contraindication if people are taking SSRIs or serotonin reuptake inhibition drugs or dopamine reuptake inhibition drugs, okay, because methylene is going to increase serotonin and dopamine a little bit, as I mentioned earlier. Now, it's not a full contraindication, just means that you should either be doing it under the supervision of a healthcare provider to help you along the process. But as long as it's done safely in that context, it's usually okay.
Okay.
If you're pregnant or breastfeeding, shouldn't use methylene blue. It's been studied in those populations and there could be a detrimental effect on the fetus or the baby in those contexts.
Good to know.
If you have hypertension, if you have high blood pressure, some people will get an elevation in their blood pressure using methylene blue. Now, again, we have very, very low doses in our products. It's very unlikely, but it does happen if in a small segment of people that their blood pressure does go up. And this is related to the neurotransmitter release that we were talking about earlier, the norepinephrine specifically. So that's one of our stress hormones and it can increase our blood pressure slightly. And so some people will have an increase in their blood pressure, but the main side effect is it's going to turn your urine blue, right? And you already noticed that, Joe, if you want to call it that, but that's not a bad thing. It's benign. There's no issues there. It's actually been at higher doses. Methylene blue has been used, it's been used as an antimicrobial for urinary tract infections specifically as a result of that, because it concentrates in the urine. So in that case, you also have to be thinking about renal function or kidney function. So if you have to have normal kidney function as well, because that's how methylene blue gets excreted. It gets excreted in your urine. So you have to make sure you can excrete in normal kidneys in general. So those are the major ones overall. If you have any other medical conditions, you really want to make sure that there's not going to be interactions with methylene blue. In general, there aren't that many, but they do exist. So it's something that to be aware of before you start taking it.
I heard you mention thyroid on another podcast. Is that one of the issues?
So no, actually what we think may happen is that methylene blue increases your metabolic rate because it's increasing energy production. So it may improve thyroid metabolism too. Yeah. And so we've been doing this, it hasn't been done formally, but we've been considering looking at it for things like Hashimoto's or other other sort of antibody mediated thyroid issues, with at least some preliminary excitement in the sense that seemingly helping these people function better, getting their thyroid levels, their TSH and their T4 back and T3 back in normal levels relatively faster than they would otherwise.
Well, that's great. Okay, one last thing and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, again on another podcast, this idea that you could titrate the amount of methylene blue that would work for you based on the color of your pee. Have you taken any further?
So, yeah, I mean, we're still very much in the theoretical sense here, right? We think that the more stress you're under, the more methylene blue that you need. And so if you're under more stress, it's going to take you longer to have blue urine, as opposed to have less stress, your body's not going to need as much to be in that sort of oxidative capacity or reductive capacity in this case, and helping neutralize stuff. And then it's going to come out blue, but we don't know for sure. This has been more of an anecdotal thing. That's been something that I've noticed, at least personally. And then I have friends and colleagues that have noticed something similar as well, that you'll need a higher dose when you travel to see the same effect, that kind of thing.
Okay. So, you know, people who are, you know, slowly increasing the amount that they're taking until they feel something, they could be like checking the color of their pee and, you know, seeing if there's any kind of correlation there.
Well, what I would always say is that if you don't think methylene blue has worked for you and your urine hasn't turned blue yet, then I don't think that methylene blue has been really truly tried to its level that would require or would actually give us or necessitate us an answer to that question, I guess, in the sense that you want to go to at least you have blue urine, not that you want to stop there, but at least blue urine, and then continue if you're not having the effects that you want, up like kind of the titration schedule that I mentioned earlier.
Okay. And so the blue is not like the same color blue as the dye, the 1% dye. That's a dark, deep, you know, navy blue. You're talking about just a faint blue or what do we mean?
No, we're talking about a significant blue. Like a faint blue is part of it, but we're looking at like a significant blue. If you haven't had a significant blue yet and you're still not feeling the effects of improvement or any improvement with methylene blue, you probably haven't gotten to a dose that may be appropriate for you. Maybe.
Okay. That's good to hear. I have not had a deep blue pee.
You don't have to get there though. You don't have to. So if you're already feeling the effects or the improvements, Joe,
yeah,
it's not an issue, right? If you're already feeling better, then you've already given yourself the diagnostic.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't matter the color as much.
Okay. I'm totally not on the verge of quitting because I don't think it does me any good. Yeah. And I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah. So
no,
I'll just keep after it.
Yeah. So it's another marker, right? But in general, it's mostly going to be subjective. How do you feel? Yeah. Is your pain better? Is your brain better? Is your exercise better? Are you able to go further on the exercise bike? We've had plenty of people tell us that they can go further because they can keep their heart rate up farther or for longer because they have methylene blue down in the system. So this is all related to continuing the ability to make energy for longer periods of time when you have methylene blue around.
All right. I've got a bunch of experiments I got to run on this. So thank you very much. Cool. This has been as good as I had hoped. Thanks for that. Tell our audience how to find you, you know, your various companies online and, you know, how they can learn more and buy some Trokies.
Yes. So the company's name's Troscriptions. Trokey and Prescriptions is Troscriptions. Okay. Trokey and Prescription mashed up to Troscriptions.
Yeah.
And so Troscriptions.com is the website. And you can go there or you can go on social media. We're on Instagram, other socials at Troscriptions. If you're looking for stuff from me, I'm at Dr. Scott Scherr at DrScottSherr on most of the socials. And my website is drscottscherr.com. The nonprofit is homehope.org. And you can check out more if you're a practitioner, you're looking to optimize health of your clients and have a certain perspective shift that we talked about here, looking at the health of the cells and the body as a whole, shifting those levels to 21 to 30 years of age. You can check it out at homehope.org.
Well, that's really great. And do you, you're in Colorado, so are you limited to working with people who are local to you?
No, my practice is fully remote. So I do telepractice across the US.
Fantastic. All right. This has been great. Dr. Scherr, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a good night. Thank you so much for listening into my conversation with Dr. Scherr. You can find more information about Dr. Scherr and Troscriptions in the show notes.